Matt Williamson and Ryan McDowell.
Welcome into another edition of the Dynasty Blueprint. I'm your host, Ryan McDowell, joined as always by Matt Williamson. Matt, how's it going today?
Things are spectacular. I'm leaving for the combine in a couple days. Excited to go down there. Maybe you and I should do a show, like a listener question before that. And then we can do one after with what I got with some of the knowledge I gathered from Indy.
I like that. I like that idea. I'm excited for the combine. Already planning to play hooky a little bit from work so I can watch that. Don't tell anybody about that, though. Matt, we've got a great guest today. One of my co-workers and co-host over at DLF. We've got Matt Price. Matt is one of the co-hosts of the DLF Dynasty podcast. Also, gosh, Matt, you have almost as many podcasts as I do. Also co-host of Dynasty Game Night and the Zookeeper Stories. If you hadn't figured it out, Matt Price is a zookeeper in San Diego in his day job. Matt, how are you today?
I'm doing great, man. I'm really excited to be on the show today. It's a little bit surreal. I've been listening to M-Dub all the way back since he was with Ross Tucker. So to be on the show with him today is pretty fantastic. So thanks for having me, guys.
Well, I just found out about the zookeeper thing. That is awesome. Now I'm jealous of you, dude. That is a really cool gig. And San Diego Zoo is like the best one around, right?
I don't want to say it's the best around. I mean, I guess I should since I work there, but it's definitely one of the most well-known in the world. There are probably some other zoos out there that might take issue with us calling ourselves the best, but we are known unofficially as the world famous. Take that for what you will, I guess.
That's cool.
Nice. But both of you guys I know have been really active in your dynasty leagues lately. I know Matt Price, you said you've been working in the Capitalist Pigs 3. Is it 3?
I think it's 3.
Yeah. The Capitalist Pigs 3 startup auction, which is just a crazy concoction from our buddy Scott Fish. Lots of players being bid on, money being thrown around over there. Matt, in Hyperactive 4, undefeated, you ran the table, you won the championship, didn't lose a game all year. You get to the offseason, you've made 5 trades in 5 days. What's going on? Why not just ride with the 16-0 team?
Well, I got a little anxious. I started kicking tires, as I think everybody should in every league. And things have started falling into place. And here's my story. I mean, I've had to try to answer these questions in multitude on Twitter. And I want you guys to say, Williamson, how'd you do? And like you said, I was 16-0. I was a bad team to begin with, but I drafted Gurley, then Zeke, then Fournette. I have a loaded young crew of running backs. I picked up Wentz in the meantime. But to be very honest, my team was not very well-rounded. I mean, that in itself really carried me. But I had a ton of running backs, a couple good receivers, Devontae Adams, Cooks, guys like that, you know, startable, good players, young. But in the end, like with Zeke out, and I was basically starting like Njoku all year at tight end. And then when Wentz got hurt, I think I started Tyrod Taylor, or I might have picked up Case Keenum. Like I had some major weaknesses. So I started chatting with people, and I'm like you said, I made 5 trades over the course of the last couple of days. And the first, and I'm going to buzz through them real quick, and you guys don't have to react to each. And then you might want to grab a piece of paper and a pencil, and we will see everything I got and everything I gave up. But my intentions are: I got younger, my roster is better from a weekly, weekly starting standpoint, you know, where there's no weaknesses now. And this is where I did. I traded Todd Gurley, and that's when everyone went crazy. And everyone on Twitter just went, oh, you're an idiot, Williamson. You just traded Gurley and you were 16-0. That makes no sense at all. I traded Gurley and Kittle for Evan Engram, who I love. And like I said, I had major tight end problems. And that's how this all started, was I tried to get a tight end and it led to trading Gurley. But traded Gurley and Kittle for A-Rob, Engram, a 19 first. Then I traded Njoku for Tyreek Cohen and 2-3. Then I traded Tyrod Taylor and Cohen, who I just got and I like. DeMarcus Robinson is a throw-in. 2-8. And then that 19 first that I had just got for Phillip Rivers. Like I said, my backup quarterback situation was a disaster. Aaron Jones, who I've been saying everyone on here we should target in a big way, and Ty Montgomery. Then I gave up 112 and 212 to move up to 19. And then last night I traded Chris Thompson, who I very much think is a sell, by the way, and a 19 third for 2-7 and Wayne Gallman, with my fingers crossed that the Giants do not select Barkley. So I know that's a lot to take in. Here's what I gave up. So you guys might want to start scribbling. Gurley, the running back, or I gave up Tyrod Taylor. Okay. I gave up running backs were Gurley and Chris Thompson. I gave up Kittle and Njoku, two guys I like a lot, but didn't feel comfortable starting. I got back Rivers as a quarterback. I got back Gallman, Aaron Jones, and Montgomery at running back, although I think Montgomery is going to be a wide receiver. Don't tell anybody yet. I also got A-Rob, which will be a starter for me with Cooks and Adams every week, and Evan Ingram, which was a huge key. I gave up 112, 208, 212, and a 19 third for 109, 203, 207. So roster space is also an issue for me too. You know, I have a really good team. I don't have dudes to cut. So that's one of my things to do here. So do you guys agree, if we break it down in this way, I traded Njoku and Kittle for Ingram. To me, that was a huge win because Ingram is starting caliber now, although I like the other two.
Yeah, I think you upgraded the tight end spot just to lock in that starter as far as Ingram. I agree with you. I like Kittle and Njoku long term. I also agree with you. I'm not sure I'd be ready to start them in 2018, though.
Right.
I think for me, how you feel about that deal comes down to how you feel about A-Rob, really. If you're a believer that he's going to bounce back, then you probably win that trade. And if not, if you think continue to do what he did, the year before he got injured, then you probably lose it. But you won't find a bigger Ingram fan than me. So anytime someone wants to acquire Evan Ingram, I'm all for it.
Yeah, I mean, A-Rob's only 24 years old. I mean, I think there's a lot of good years ahead of him. So that's how I swapped out the tight ends. I gave up nothing at receiver and added A-Rob. I gave up Tyrod and added Rivers. Obviously, those by position are huge wins. I went from 112 to 109. I went from
What happened to your running backs? What happened to your running backs? Well, like, what are you starting now?
I'm bringing that up last. So I got 109, 23, and 27 for 112, 28, 212, and a future third. So clearly I won there. I moved up across the board with three picks, and they're the only three picks I have. And I gave up Gurley and Chris Thompson, which this is where I lost, for Aaron Jones, Montgomery, Gallman. That leaves me with these running backs, though. Zeke, Fournette, Hyde, Ingram, Aaron Jones, Deion Lewis, P. Ryan, Ty Montgomery, Gallman, Darkwa, Blunt, Connor, Joe Williams.
Yeah, so you clearly upgraded your picks if you want to look at those separately. And then,
that was important.
And then throwing everything else together, you lose at running back, but you have the depth there.
Yeah.
But to lose Gurley, to lose the starter in Gurley, you added a starting receiver in Ingram. I'm sorry, in Allen Robinson, a starting tight end in Ingram. And I know both of you guys really like Aaron Jones. Matt Price, you're a Packers fan. I know you're a Jones believer as well.
Jamal Williams guy coming out, and I think there is a small chance that he could be not necessarily the primary back, but like have a very large chunk of that just because he's so good in pass protection. And not that Aaron Jones is a slouch, but you know, when your quarterback is Aaron Rodgers, you want to keep him on his feet. And I think Jamal Williams is way better at that. But I don't think you can argue with Aaron Jones as the more explosive player and probably better for fantasy purposes.
Yeah. All in all, I mean, I think you did well, Matt. I know it hurts to trade a guy like Gurley. That's where the Twitter backlash comes in. Nobody wants to be the one trading away a guy like him. But, I mean, Ingram is on the rise. He's a hard player to acquire right now. Allen Robinson, despite that year away or nearly the full year off, his value is bouncing back. And then, of course, it's always tough to upgrade your picks this time of year as the draft nears. So I hate to lose Gurley there. I like the young tight end you moved. But all in all, I think it's okay. I think you did well.
Every week, I'm going to start Wentz, Elliott, Fournette, Cooks, Adams, A-Rod, Engram, and Hyde, Engram, Aaron Jones, Lewis, somebody like that.
I mean, when you have Gurley, or sorry, when you have Zeke and Leonard Fournette there, it hurts a lot less to lose Gurley.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, this tells me I need to start making some trades in that league as well. That's one we're in together. And,
better catch up, Ryan.
My AJ Green, Julio Jones combo isn't looking as good as it did a couple of years ago. All right. Well, today, guys, we're going to talk Dynasty ADP. We've got brand new ADP over at DLF. This is my favorite month of the season to collect ADP and to take part in those drafts, because it does include rookies for the first time. So MFL rolls over to their new season, and they include all the top incoming rookies. And of course, those are part of our draft, our mock drafts that we do there. And even a lot of startups, like we mentioned with the Capitalist Pigs Auction League, a lot of startups going on already this time of year. Today, we're just going to kind of take an overview of ADP. We're going to look at some of the players that are rising and falling, the top 12 at each position. We'll dig into that a little bit, and then we will end the show as we have done recently with a one-round rookie mock draft. Let's go ahead and just start with the players that are on the rise. So this is comparing our January data to February. And the top riser overall is quarterback Patrick Mahomes. He's up 22 spots, so he's up nearly two rounds from January to February. Of course, we know the cause of that. Since that time, we had the Alex Smith trade. Most people assumed, I think, that Alex Smith was probably gone. Matt Price, you may be the only one that was kind of hanging on. I think you said on the DLF podcast that you thought he might stay in Kansas City, and then before that episode was even released, he had been traded.
Pretty much.
Smith is now in Washington. Mahomes, their first rounder from a year ago, is expected to take over, and he's in a nice spot. That Andy Reid offense, Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, Kareem Hunt, it looks like he's in a can't-miss position, and Dynasty owners are taking note as he's the top riser. Matt Williamson, I want to start with you. What's your take on Mahomes in general? Is he a guy that you're a believer in?
Well, last year's class, football, I mean, fantasy aside, he was my favorite of the four quarterbacks. And I'll admit, I'm kind of a swing for the fences on quarterback guy. You know, that if I lose one here and there, but I hit a home run and end up with a Hall of Famer or superstar, I think that's worth it at that position. I'm not a doubles hitter for quarterbacks in terms of NFL evals. And I think that's exactly what he is he is a massive high variance dude. And I think people should be very excited. And I love that Andy Reid is there and they're putting their money where their mouth is, and they traded up for him, and now they're trading a big guy away and they're going to hand him the reins. But I mean, just a year ago, we thought he needed a lot of work. And I think it's foolish, and this isn't a fantasy note, but a lot of people are looking at the Chiefs like, yeah, the Chiefs are going to win the West. I mean, they'll be better now than they were last year. Alex Smith was a good football player last year. Like, I bet Mahomes in his first year as a starter doesn't have as good a season from a football perspective as Alex Smith. But yeah, I'm excited about Mahomes. I mean, maybe not this excited, though.
Yeah, we'll spoil a little bit. We're going to get into the top 12 again at each position, as I mentioned. And Mahomes already is in the top 12 quarterbacks. He's in that group.
That's nuts.
It's insane. Yeah, he's ahead of many more well-established and more experienced players who I think we can definitely call safer than Mahomes. And this is what happens this time of year. You know, we tend to want to build those pretty rosters and get the hyped players on our team. And then, you know, like you were saying with Kittle and Njoku, you get to September and you can't even start those guys. Like, yeah, we want those guys on our roster and excited for their future. But when it comes time to click those boxes on MFL, you don't feel very confident with that. And I think Mahomes is probably going to be one of those guys. Are you starting Mahomes over Rivers or Breeze, no, or certainly Brady in week one? No, you're not. Another riser, and Matt Price, will go to you on this one. Another riser, the next closest tight end George Kittle. We've already talked about Kittle a little bit. Matt traded him away. He's up 21 spots, and we'll go ahead and pair this with the third top riser, Jimmy Garoppolo, up 17 spots. So a pair of 49ers there. I think their rise, and specifically Kittle's rise, is probably tied to Garoppolo there. And Matt, we talked about Kittle last episode, that he's now a top 12 tight end according to our dynasty ADPs, which
that's a little rich.
Yeah, that seems to be maybe overvaluing him a little bit. Matt Price, what do you think about this pair of young 49ers?
I mean, it's hard to not like what Garoppolo did in the six games or so of the season. The curious thing for me, and I really like Kittle, I think he's going to be a good player, but it's weird to pair those two, because if you look at his last six games, he had 21 targets, 16 receptions, 238 yards, and a touchdown. That's it. Like, he wasn't super impressive with Garoppolo, and whether that's they didn't really have time to work together that much, or the coaching staff just didn't want him to throw it that way because they had a quarterback could actually throw downfield. You know, I don't know exactly what that is. But I don't necessarily think that the success of Jimmy Garoppolo is going to reflect on Kittle, at least in year two, you know, as he continues to learn the NFL position. But am I spoiling here if I say, if I look down a little bit at top 12 quarterbacks and say that Garoppolo is already quarterback six? That is insanity to me. Like, I like the guy quite a bit, but if I can get quarterback six prices, especially in a super flex league, I'm out all day on that.
Yeah, quarterback six does seem pretty rich. I put the top 12 quarterback list out on Twitter and just ask for some feedback as far as which didn't belong, which player was maybe being overvalued or overdrafted. And as you might guess, Garoppolo and Mahomes were both pretty popular choices there. So Mahomes, Kittle, Garoppolo, you know, I think this goes without saying, those are all guys you like to have on your roster. If you drafted Mahomes and Kittle a year ago, if you've been hanging on to Garoppolo hoping for something like this, then you're happy. But as far as going out and targeting those guys and paying the prices that it's going to take right now, it's probably better to wait.
I think the best guy to go out and target right now in Dynasty, honestly, is Pierre Garçon, because I mean, I don't know if he's going to be the number one. I don't know what they're going to do in terms of free agency and drafting a guy. I'm assuming they are. But right now, you know, you can get Garçon for free. But I bet you could get him for maybe even a fourth round pick, but certainly a third round pick, I think, would go get you Garçon. And you know, that's the player I think that Garoppolo is going to kind of lock on to next season.
I'm going to put an offer in on Hyperactive 4 right now for him.
Well, Matt, you're in good company. We had Sigmund Bloom on a few weeks ago. I asked him who his number one dynasty buy of the offseason was, and it was also Pierre Garçon.
Nice.
So good call there. The last riser I wanted to mention, this is our he's up the – I guess he's the fourth highest riser, and this one is a surprise. Doesn't fit that trend of the other players. Tyler Kroft, Bengals tight end, up 14 spots, so up more than a full round from – January. Not really any news on him, but maybe just another sign that people are really giving up on Tyler Eifert. Not only does he have the injury history that just won't quit, but he's also now a free agent. We've seen some reports that the Bengals are not interested in bringing him back. So now maybe people are viewing Kroft as just a later round tight end flyer with a chance that he continues to start in Cincinnati. Williamson, are we bothering with Kroft at this point? Is he just kind of a stab in the dark?
I mean, he's rosterable. How I expect this to play out is Eifert to leave, sign a 1-year deal with some team. You know, I said if I was Denver, I'd love to have him, or Green Bay. And he'd be somebody I wouldn't mind picking up on the cheap right now either. And I think Kroft will step in as the starter. And I think Cincinnati will dedicate their offseason priorities to the offensive line and some defensive spots. So I don't think he'll see a lot of competition. But that doesn't mean I'm super excited about him. Like, I'd rather have Vance McDonald.
That's not a very, very much of a ringing endorsement there. I don't know if McDonald really has much value either, but that tells us what you think of Kroft. Let's move on now to the fallers. And guys, I don't know if you noticed this, but I see a little bit of a trend. The top four fallers are all running backs, all veteran running backs. All of these guys seem to gain value, or at least most of them seem to gain value with some impressive play throughout the season. Maybe surprising is fair to say. But now that the offseason is here, dynasty owners don't have much use for these guys at this point in the season or at this point in the year. The player who fell the most, Rex Burkhead, fell 74 spots, 74 places from January to February. Not really sure what his future holds, if he'll be back in New England or not. And I'm viewing him as, if he's in New England, I want him on my team. And if he's not, I probably don't. Price, do you agree with that?
Yeah, exactly. If he's on New England, I want him. I wonder if they are concerned about him being able to stay healthy. Maybe that's why they might not bring him back. But, you know, anywhere else, I mean, he had his moments in Cincinnati. It was like week 17 when he just went crazy. And that's when Twitter went crazy for him. But if he ends up anywhere else, I just don't think they're going to use him as well as the Patriots would. So I don't know if I'm out, but I'm definitely less excited for him. If somebody is excited about a landing spot other than the Patriots, I would probably end up selling at that point.
Yeah, the Patriots backfield is going to be one to watch again this offseason. Both Burkhead and Deion Lewis are free agents. Most people, it seems, expect Lewis to leave. James White will be back, most assume, and they'll have Mike Gillisley under contract again next year if they want him. But if they lose Burkhead and Lewis, then they're going to have to make another move to improve that backfield, and dynasty owners will probably start chasing whoever that player might be. Of course, we know last year it was Gillisley whose value steadily rose all offseason. By August, he was a top 100 dynasty player and just was one of the biggest busts of the season.
My quick take on this is White will be back. Like you said, Lewis and Burkhead are both free agents. And if somebody non-Patriot is going to offer one of those two decent money, starter money, good money, it'll be to Lewis. Mm-hmm. And I think Burkhead is a Belichick favorite because he does everything, including special teams. I think there's a good chance he comes back. But I also think there was a bit of a void from what history has taught us about the Patriots is they didn't have the Ridley, the Blunt. You know, that's what Gillisley was signed for. I could see them signing that 240-pound guy and Burkhead not getting the goal line carries, which he got last year.
What about Isaiah Crowell?
I like Crowell.
To New England. I like that. I would like that a lot. Maybe that would give them what they wanted in Gillisley, you know, that pounder. Mm-hmm. And he's got a lot of talent. So I think if he ends up in a place like that, he might be really attractive.
Yeah, he's a guy, of course, due to his age, the success he had in the 2016 season especially. He's had some pretty solid dynasty value, even though that's dropped off over the past year. But if a guy like that were to land in New England, it would really go crazy. He would probably become a top 50 or 60 dynasty player, top five or six rounds, which I would be out at that point. the next follower we want to talk about, actually we'll lump these next two together because they're both Buccaneers, or at least they were in the 2017 season. Peyton Barber down 69 spots, and Doug Martin, recently released by the Buccaneers, down 66 spots.
Ryan, quick question for you.
Yeah.
Do you think they both fall because owners go, they cut Martin, now they're going to go sign somebody, Barber's in trouble? You know, like it's odd for them both to fall with Martin getting cut. You would think, well, maybe Barber's got a shot now.
Yeah, the mocks were completed before Martin was cut. Honestly, I think they were both cut just because of the players they are.
Yeah,
I mean we pretty much know Martin is done at this point. I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't get a contract at all, and if this is just it for him, I would not be surprised at all. I don't really think he's worth a roster spot, and I think he was actually only drafted in three of our six mock drafts this month. So that kind of tells you how people are valuing him. Barber, like I mentioned at the beginning of this, he's a player who performed well, surprised a little bit, and we were able to get him off the waiver wire, and that's always a nice thing if you're in a playoff run or something like that, or you need that fill-in running back for the week. But then when January and February and March rolls around, it's really unlikely that Peyton Barber is going to be their starter in 2018. So just why bother kind of thing. I saw a couple people actually trade for Barber this week. So there are some believers out there. I would sell him for any third I could get. I think they're either going to be active in the free agent market or draft a running back with their first or second round pick. So
I just wrote an article about Tampa Bay, and that Sims is also a free agent, for those who don't know, and Jaquez Rogers is still on board, but they have a lot of money to spend. Like, I could see them grabbing Crowell or McKinnon or Hyde or somebody like that.
Right, and they were also heavily rumored last year to draft Dalvin Cook. So we know they've kind of been looking that direction for over a year now, and it wouldn't be a surprise if they added a big name, whether it's a rookie or a free agent. So Martin, completely done with him, and Peyton Barber. I mean, if he's on the waiver wire, I'm grabbing him and hoping, but I'm not paying anything for him in a trade. Matt, did you have anything on either of the Bucks?
I really like Barber. I think that Doug Martin is probably done, but I've been a fan of Barber. I don't know if you guys know his story, but he actually came out a year early because his mom was homeless and he needed to make her not be homeless, basically. So he came out a little too early. I think if he would have stayed another year, he might have got some draft buzz. But he flashed a little bit in his rookie year. He's a tough inside runner, okay pass catcher. You know, he's not going to do anything flashy for you. But I kind of feel like the Bucks really like him and his worth ethic and what he brings to the team. So I do think it's a risk that they will bring somebody else in. I mean, they pretty much have to, whether it's a highly drafted guy or one of these free agent backs like Williamson mentioned there. But I think he could have a role there if they want to keep him.
All right. And the last guy we want to talk about in this group down 65 spots is Latavius Murray. He's probably the one of this group who played the best, had some big games once Dalvin Cook went out with that injury. But now Cook is, of course, expected back, and Murray is at best his backup and has also been rumored as a cut candidate himself. So he may be looking for a new team. I kind of like Murray, actually. I was actually really impressed with his play this year. McKinnon is a free agent and expected to leave, so that could cause them to hang on to Murray. And I'm definitely not rooting for a Dalvin Cook injury, but he did have some injury trouble in college. We know about the ACL, his rookie season. So Murray is a guy I would hang on to if I had him on the end of my bench. What do you guys think on Murray?
I see him potentially being a thorn in the side of Dalvin Cook owners. Like, he could definitely vulture some touchdowns away from Cook there. So that would be frustrating. And if Cook has some complications coming back from this knee injury, then he could certainly have some value there. And that offensive line turned around real quick in 1 year after being one of the worst ones in 2016. So I don't mind that as kind of a stash and kind of an injury play there, especially if we hear anything about Cook's knee not going so well.
Yeah, I don't like Murray as a player, and I bashed the Vikings when they signed him. But McKinnon's going to go. I think they'll put some resources into boosting their offensive line, maybe a first-round pick, a guy like Wynn or Hernandez, somebody like that. And do we know Cook is durable? You know, do we know that he can be the guy? And if he goes down again, Murray all of a sudden is a lot more attractive than he was even this year.
Is he a guy that – either one of you would be trading for at this point, just in case?
No.
I mean, maybe if I had
Cook, I was really nervous about it. You know, he has made so much money, both in Dynasty and in real life, about just from that 90-yard touchdown he ran against the Chiefs several years ago. I think that's why he's still relevant, honestly. But you're right, Ryan. He impressed later in the season. Early on, it was really rough. I don't know if it was just because he was coming back from injury or just wasn't integrated with the team very well. But as the season went on and as that offense started clicking, he started playing really well too. And I started McKinnon, I don't even know how many times, over Murray down the stretch, and that didn't really work out so well.
So let's look at those. We'll leave Doug Martin out of this. We seem to agree he's kind of near the end. Burkhead, Barber, Murray, which one of those guys do you want on your dynasty team? Matt Price?
Dependent on landing spot, if Burkhead goes back to the Patriots, I want him. But otherwise, I want Barber.
Okay. Matt?
Murray, but I don't like him that much as a player, and I kind of have a rule not to have guys I'm not fond of as players on my team. But what if I could see Belichick signing Doug Martin for nothing. Yeah. I mean, I'm just throwing it out there. I'd be the first one to say it.
We all know
this is going to be another offseason of every running back going to the Patriots.
Right. I can say that on everybody. Yeah.
And we also know that whoever does go there is going to see a value bump and maybe an outrageous one like we saw with Gillislee last year. So that would be one I would want to take advantage of as a seller rather than a buyer.
That's a good point, Ryan, actually. Maybe it's a good idea to buy a few of these cheaper off the waiver wire or whatever, and then use that as a way to gain some value on the player once if they do land on the Patriots.
Yeah.
Makes sense. Ryan, you know what else is a value right now?
What's that,
Matt? I bet you do. It's our friends at Harry's. I've told you guys about them before. Harry's is all about a great shave at a fair price, which is why over 3 million guys have switched to Harry's. And I told you before, I mean, I've been doing podcasts for a long time, and Matt mentioned my Football Today days way back when, and Harry's was a sponsor way back when, and I became a loyal Harry's fan way back when, and it's been the best thing for my shaving situation, to say the least. It's great on my very fair skin. Harry's stripped out the unnecessary features, things like a vibrating handle and heating blades and a bazillion lubricating strips and all that nonsense. And therefore, the unnecessary costs to deliver customers one perfect razor at an amazing price. A good shave comes down to good blades. Because Harry owns the factory, they're able to deliver amazing quality blades for just $2 a blade compared to the $4 or more you pay at your local drugstore. And all products are backed by a 100% quality guarantee. So that's what you do. Harry's is so confident that you're going to love their blades, they'll give you a free trial set when you sign up at harrys.com/dynasty. That should be all caps on the dynasty, by the way. All you got to do is pay for shipping. Claim your free trial offer from Harry's today. It's $13 value. All you do is cover shipping. And your free trial includes a really nicely weighted razor handle, 5 precision engineer blade with a lubricating strip and trimmer blade, rich lathering shave gel that smells amazing, a travel blade cover. To get your free trial set, go to harrys.com/dynasty right now. That's harrys.com/dynasty.
I teased it a little bit earlier, but now we're going to run through the top 12 at each position. Obviously, we are not going to comment on all of these players, but what I really want to hear is one player who you think doesn't belong, one player who's being overdrafted or overvalued, and we'll also try to highlight one who we currently are liking as far as his value. So we'll start with the quarterbacks. The quarterback one, and again, this is all based on DLF ADP for February. Quarterback one is Carson Wentz, also the quarterback one for Matt Williamson, and his rankings fell all the way to 49 overall. So even the folks taking Wentz and taking some of these other guys are waiting at least until the fourth round for them, or actually, I guess the fifth round. Wentz is 49 overall. Aaron Rodgers right behind him, 50 overall. Russell Wilson, 56. Deshaun Watson is quarterback 4, 64 overall. Cam Newton, quarterback 5, 82. Matt mentioned it earlier. Jimmy Garoppolo, quarterback 6, 87 overall. Jared Goff, quarterback 7, 95. Andrew Luck, quarterback 8 at 97 overall. Jameis Winston, 109. Dak Prescott, 115. Mahomes, we also mentioned earlier, at 116. And the quarterback 12 is Marcus Mariota, 119 overall.
Can I jump in real quick, as I often do?
Yes.
A handful of these stick out to me. Like, if I had to buy these guys at this price, like, you walk in the grocery store, and then you got to buy yourself a couple quarterbacks for dinner, and these are all the prices. The guys I'm buying at the prices you just mentioned are Luck, Winston, Mariota, and then the guys you didn't mention, Stafford, Carr. I mean, Mahomes over Carr?
Yeah, Mahomes way over Carr. Some of the notables that are not in the top 12: Stafford, Cousins, Brady, Carr, Drew Brees. Most of those, I don't know. I don't know if they make sense. Carr, of course, was disappointing and frustrating. And now it's a question of who is the real Derek Carr? Is it what we saw in 2016 when he was on his way to an MVP award before his injury? Or is it 2017 when pretty much the entire Raiders offense struggled? I don't know the answer to that. I think most people, whether you want to call it recency bias or whatever, are holding 2017 against him, and that's what's in the front of their minds. Matt Price, who's the one player who just screams being overdrafted to you? Is it Garoppolo at 87?
Yeah, I think it has to be Garoppolo or Mahomes, I guess. What is that, two rounds or so after Garoppolo? So I think those two guys stick out as guys that don't belong necessarily. In terms of who I would buy out of this group, I feel like there's a kind of a big teardrop there between Watson and Newton, at least in terms of the ADP. But I personally believe Newton still belongs in that top tier of quarterbacks, maybe not necessarily up there with Rodgers, Wentz, and Wilson, but certainly right there with Watson. So if I can get, I don't know about in a one quarterback league, I know this is what we're talking about right now. So I don't know if I would necessarily take a quarterback that high in that one, but if I was, I would go ahead and wait for Watson to pop and go ahead and grab Newton a round and a half later. So I kind of like that a lot, especially in these new fancy points per carry leagues.
Yeah. That's a good point. For me, Stafford is the guy that outside of that group that I really want to take advantage of and buy anywhere I can really this offseason. He just continues to put up numbers. He's got the offense around him. Most people expect them to address that running back position this offseason. So we have to think that offense is going to at the very least maintain and hopefully improve.
He finished as the quarterback 11 in terms of points per game. So he should definitely be in there.
Yeah, Matt, any other thoughts on the quarterbacks in general?
No, but as we're sitting here, I got a notification on my phone of a trade in Hyperactive 4. Do you want to hear about it real quick?
Is it you again? It's a monster.
It wasn't me, but it's our boy Night Stalkers. He's the one that's been making trades left and right as well. He's trying to beat my pace, but he just got Antonio Brown. And, oh, by the way, he's the one that got Gurley off me. Andy owns 1-1. He's totally changing the face of his team to win now. Yeah, wow. Big moves. Yeah, so he's got Brown, Gurley, and Barkley, as well as, he picked up Chris Thompson off me, and he was the worst team in the league last year, where I was the best team in the league. The two of us are making moves left and right. But he got Brown. He got 3-10 and a fourth, so who cares about that? He gave up Mike Williams, 112, 201, 307, a 19-1, a 19-3. So the reality is Mike Williams, 112, 2-1, a 19-1 for AB.
It's yeah, give me Brown all day. Yeah.
Would you?
Yeah.
I think he did pretty well there. He is making some moves. And that's even more pressure on me.
I feel like that other owner is probably counting on him being terrible again and having a really high pick in 2019.
I think so. Yeah, I think that's exactly what he's thinking.
Let's move on to the running back position. We've already mentioned Todd Gurley quite a bit. He is the running back one in DLF ADP, the third player overall off the board. And we'll run through these pretty quickly. Ezekiel Elliott, 5. David Johnson, 7. Le'Veon Bell, 8. Alvin Kamara, 12. Kareem Hunt, 12, and Saquon Barkley, also 12. Again, that's ADP, so it's just an average. All three players right in there together with a 12 ADP, Kamara, Hunt, and Barkley. Fournette, ADP of 17, so we see a little bit of a gap there from the top 7 running backs down to Fournette at running back 8. Cook is also an ADP of 17. McCaffrey and Melvin Gordon coming in both with an ADP of 24. And then the running back 12, Darius Geis, another rookie. So we all knew Barkley would be in that top 12 somewhere as a rookie. But Darius Geis beats out some pretty big names to also crack the running back one range. Outside of that group, Devontae Freeman, Joe Mixon, Derrick Henry, Howard, Hyde, and a couple other rookies who were pretty highly drafted, Sony Michel and Nick Chubb, the Georgia boys, are right there behind them as well. So, Williamson, we'll start with you this time. Which player don't you like? Which player is being overdrafted right now?
Yeah, I don't have a big problem with this list overall. The one guy I would not buy at that price is Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah, so Bell ahead of Kamara, ahead of Hunt, Barkley, Fournette. He is the running back four. I think that's pretty standard. You'll see some people start to rank the 2017 rookies or even Barkley himself over Bell. But when you get a big group and you're looking at rankings or ADP, it's still going to be Gurley, Elliott, Johnson, and Bell. Matt Price, what about you?
In terms of players that don't belong, it's really hard to argue. I mean, I think maybe Geis is – I like Geis quite a bit. Like, I think the gap between him and Barkley isn't necessarily as big as we think it is, at least in terms of their running abilities. But it's really hard for me to stomach not having Freeman in that top 12 list. I just think he is such a good player. It's a little bit concerning that Sarkisian didn't use him as a receiver last year, because I think he's a much better receiver than Tevin Coleman is, despite Coleman being a little bit more explosive in that role last season. So that hurts me a little bit because I love Devontae Freeman. I think he's more in like the 10 range there. I think he's
isn't
definitely
Coleman's
a top 10 talent.
Contract
there.
Up after this week too. Isn't this Coleman's last year under contract?
It could be. It could be, unless they bring him back.
Right.
Yeah, I think he has one more year, so he's not a free agent currently. But after the 2018 season, Coleman will be a free agent. Matt, I agree with you completely. Freeman was the guy for me who should be in the top 12. And instead of bumping Geis out, who is there at the running back 12 spot, I think I would move Melvin Gordon down. I prefer Freeman to Gordon, and I don't think I would trade Gordon for the 1.02, or I'm sorry, the other way around. I would not trade the 1.02, which is presumed to be Geis, for Melvin Gordon. So if I'm taking one out,
but
it's
you
Gordon.
Would for Freeman.
I don't know that I would for Freeman either, honestly. Yeah. So maybe I haven't done rankings yet with rookies included. So maybe Freeman's 12 for me and Geis is 11, something like that. But I mean, we're really nitpicking. And
I think that depends on the state of your team too, quite a bit, you know, I'm going to compete, I would much rather have Freeman than Geis. And if I was competing, then I might make that move, but I think you might be able to get, well, I'll take that back. I would rather have Freeman if I was competing for sure.
Yeah. The crazy thing is, when you look at this list, the top 12 guys includes two rookies in Geis and Barkley, and then it includes 2017 rookies Kamara, Hunt, Fournette, Cook, and McCaffrey. So that's a total of seven of the top 12 from the 2017 or 2018 classes. And this time a year ago, this time, or even if you want to look back 18 months ago, running back was in a pretty ugly spot, and now all of a sudden it's viewed as kind of the trendy, in vogue position for dynasty players.
Bell's the old man on this list, and he's like 26.
Yeah. What, Matt Price, what was that?
I was just going to say, how many of those top four? I mean, I think it's pretty clear that that's the top tier right now, Gurley, Elliott, David Johnson, and Le'Veon Bell. How many of those do you think fall out of that top tier for 2019, once we enter 2019?
I think
it's going to happen.
Yeah, I think Johnson and Bell would be the favorites to fall. Questions about both of their teams. In Bell's case, who is that team going to be? And at this point, he is expected to be slapped with the franchise tag by the Steelers, so it looks like he's going to be in Pittsburgh for another year. We'll be doing this whole dance again next year, except at that point, I think, just as we saw with Cousins this year, you're not going to get tagged 3 years in a row. So Bell would probably be done at that point as far as his career with Pittsburgh. And then Johnson, just so much turnover with the Cardinals. Of course, we know both Palmer and and their coach,
Bruce Arians.
Thank you. Both Arians and Palmer have retired and leaving some big gaps there with the Cardinals. So who knows if Johnson can maintain his production from the past couple seasons prior to his injury. So yeah, those two could be on the way out. You know, it's probably chalk to say Barkley is in line to be a top four running back a year from now. And really it could be any of the others. It could be Hunt or Kamara. It kind of feels like it wouldn't be Fournette. I think people are really starting to question him. He's running back 8 on this list and basically equal with Cook, who missed most of the year. So there's some real concerns, at least from a dynasty perspective, about Fournette right now. I don't think he has the kind of trade value that some of these others do.
I was just going to say, I think McCaffrey has a sneaky chance to join that top 5 or top 4 next year. I just think he has such a safe floor with all those receptions he's going to catch. I mean, if there's a running back right now in the league that can catch 100 balls, I think it's going to be McCaffrey. So I think if Stewart does move on, or he kind of takes a back seat a little bit and then McCaffrey starts getting the running touches, I know he wasn't that great at it early in the season, but I do think he improved as a runner later in the season. So if he continues that upward trajectory, I could easily see him being in that top 4 to 5 range next season.
To go back half an hour, Ryan, I opened those biddings with take Fournette for A-Rob and Ingram, and he wasn't having any of that.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
All right, let's look at the wide receivers now. Just as it has been for a couple years now, Odell Beckham is the number one wide receiver with an ADP of 2. DeAndre Hopkins is closing in and also has an ADP of 2, the second wide receiver off the board. A little bit of a drop down to both Antonio Brown and Mike Evans with an ADP of 6. And then the wide receiver 5, Mike Thomas, ADP of 9. Julio Jones, 13. Keenan Allen, 14. Amari Cooper and Davante Adams, both with an ADP of 16. Tyreek Hill, kind of a fast riser here. He is the wide receiver 10, an ADP of 19. AJ Green at 20, Brandon Cooks at 22. Those are the top 12 wide receivers from DLF ADP for February. Matt Williamson, which one doesn't belong?
I'm not seeing one. I mean, maybe Tyreek Hill, and that goes back to maybe Mahomes has some growing pains, but I got to think they're going to probably take more deep shots with Mahomes than they do Alex Smith. Is that a little, I mean, that's pretty good value for AJ Green at 20. I mean, that kind of stands out a little bit, but I think this is a really good list.
Yeah, when you look at the other wide receivers drafted next behind these guys from 13 on down, none of those feel maybe like a good value, but it doesn't feel like they are necessarily – it should be in that wide receiver 1 range. We're talking about Stephon Diggs, Allen Robinson, Corey Davis, Jarvis Landry, Adam Thielen, T.Y. Hilton, Alshon Jeffrey, Juju Smith-Schuster. Any of those guys could be in that range, but you're right. I don't necessarily see any glaring omissions. Matt, do you?
No, I do think that Hilton is a buy right now. I mean, if you believe that Andrew Luck is coming back at some point, he's all the way down now at wide receiver 18 in February's ADP data. So I feel like he is somebody who we could be talking about in that top, maybe not in the top 12, but at least up to like maybe the top 15 maybe players at that point. We know what he did 2 years ago, and I think I just think he's a really good player, and I think wide receiver 18 is probably too low if we think Andrew Luck is gonna come back and be Andrew Luck.
It's a good call. It doesn't have a lot of competition for targets either.
Yeah. They have nothing there. I mean, he's the best player on the team, right, outside of Luck, I guess.
Well, I think I think we can include Luck in that because I don't have confidence that Luck is returning. Actually, I meant to discuss that when we were on the quarterbacks, but even Luck being drafted ahead of Winston, Prescott, Mahomes, Mariota, Stafford, Luck would – maybe I need to update my rankings, but I wouldn't even have Luck in the quarterback 1 range at this point. We know what his upside is, but his downside is his career is over. And right, if I'm drafting a new team, especially Matt, I know you're doing that Superflex startup right now.
He went for 23 and 25% of total budget in that league, I think, so far.
That's just a huge risk when you can get I think you told me off air that you got Cam Newton for less than that. So
that
doesn't make sense to me. If you already have him on your roster, then and I have him on some of mine, I'm not going to sell low. You hold on and hope he comes back. But as far as making him my quarterback one and drafting him in the top 100 overall or spending a quarter of my auction budget on him, that doesn't make sense to me.
At what point would you, as a sell, Ryan, at what point would you sell rather than take the zero if you think that his career's over? Like, where's that line for you? Would you take a second round for him in a one quarterback league?
I'd probably try to move. I'd try to find a buyer with one of those other quarterbacks. I'd try to move him for Mariota or Prescott, somebody like that. Both of those guys have lost some value over the past season or so, or even take a shot on Mahomes. I've been thinking about it off and on. Would I give Luck for Garoppolo? And it looks like that decision has passed me by as Garoppolo went almost a round ahead of him.
And you mentioned Luck, and I love him as a player. I hope he comes back, but is his upside that great for fantasy? I mean, his supporting cast isn't the greatest show on turf. I mean, he's got Hilton and Doyle and not much running game and nothing else and not much of a line.
Well, I hope this new regime builds him an offensive line, you know, because it's criminal what they've done to him in that regard.
Well, they've made some bad decisions, clearly, over the past couple of years, and a lot of that includes the way they've handled Luck and his rehab. But
he has a 40 touchdown season under his belt. I mean, I think the upside is there as long as he comes back healthy and they have a line. But I don't know.
At this point, we're saying he has to get healthy, and we saw even just today the 3 month timeline pop up again. So one, he has to get healthy. Two, they have to fix the O-line. Three, they have to get some pass catchers besides Hilton, right? I mean, Dorsett was a first-round bust. Hilton was, I hate to say it at this point, but he looks like a bust. And Doyle, I mean, they got lucky on Doyle. If it wasn't for him, they wouldn't even have a tight end at this point. Gore is gone. How much that matters, who knows. But they've got a lot of holes to fill on that offense, and the questions are just more than I'm comfortable with as a buyer for Luck. Let's finish up with the tight ends, the top 12. This is the first time in a long time Rob Gronkowski is not the tight end one. It's Travis Kelce, 33 overall, Gronk 37 overall, close behind him. Really the top four all in there together. Zach Ertz 40, Evan Ingram 41. Put those four in really any order that you want, and you probably wouldn't get much argument. A teardrop there down to the tight end five, Hunter Henry, 63, O.J. Howard, 66, David Njoku, 73. Those are the top seven tight ends, and then a huge teardrop down to a veteran group, Jimmy Graham, 110, Kyle Rudolph, 113, Greg Olsen, 114, Jordan Reed, 116, and then the player we mentioned earlier, not a veteran, George Kittle at 118 overall. So some players that are not in that tight end one range, Eric Ebron, the rookie Mark Andrews, Doyle, Hooper, ASJ. I feel like we're really reaching. Basically, I don't think there are 12 tight end ones at this point. Is that fair to say, Matt?
You got to narrow down the match.
Just pick one.
I would say that. I think it's a mistake to not have Doyle in that range. I don't know how Reed is still a top 12 tight end. I know Olsen is old, but that feels kind of low for him if he's healthy. But you're right. It's just gross. Once you get past like tight end seven, once you get past Rudolph, and it's kind of disgusting. But one guy that I've been kind of railing against in this group is Hunter Henry. I just don't think he's a top five tight end. Maybe he is just based on because everybody else is so it's such a dumpster fire there. But I just don't think he's that kind of talent. I don't think he's somebody that we're going to be looking at as an upper echelon tight end. I think he's a back half of the tight end one range for most of his career, and people are just paying outrageous prices for him. But that maybe that's just because they're afraid of what is lurking there at the back half.
Would you move? And I've heard a lot of those same concerns about Henry. Again, you're echoing Sigmund Bloom, and he's got some doubts about Henry as well. Are you moving him low enough to prefer Graham Rudolph Olsen over him?
I think again it comes down to your roster construction. If you're a team that's looking to win next year, I think I would probably prefer those three to him.
Okay.
I mean, and that also depends on where Graham goes. Like I keep hoping the Packers go out and get Jimmy Graham, or he goes back to the Saints or something like that. And if that's the case, then I think I would definitely prefer him to Henry for a team that's, you know, has a window of at least 1 to 2 years coming up.
Yeah, that's fair. I don't think that group that I mentioned, Ebron, Andrews, Doyle, Hooper, ASJ, I don't think that we can make a strong case that any of those guys necessarily belong in the top 12. But we could see in April and May with a good landing spot for Andrews or Dallas Goedert, we could see those guys jump into this tight end one range almost just by default. I don't think free agency is going to do much to shake this up. Eifert is a free agent. My guy Trey Burton is a free agent. I think he could land a nice job. I don't know if it's going to be nice enough to crack the top 12, though. But I agree with you. I just don't know how Reed is still in this group. He's being drafted 116 overall, and he has basically no trade value. I don't think you can get anything for him. He's just poison on the trade market.
A couple notes that I see here. I think the top five, I like Henry more than you guys, apparently, and more than Bloom does. I think they're clearly the top five, and I would draw a line after them. And I love Howard, and I love Njoku, and I'm excited about Kittle. But this goes back to the conversation we had to start the show. You can't start them yet. I mean, this is the only position where we have guys in the top 12 that aren't really even starting players week to week. And I love what they might become, but there has to be some value when you're making these rankings of, can I play put him in my lineup? The two guys that you mentioned, Doyle, he would be in my top 12 for sure. And I don't love him, but chronically underrated. And I know why people don't like him. Eric Ebron. Eric Ebron's a starting tight end in fantasy all day long. And he might be like eighth on my list.
Yeah. Again, that probably says more about the tight end position right now than it does about Ebron. So
he did tease us at the end of the season there and had a couple of really strong games at the end of the season. And I think he did that. Maybe it wasn't in 2016, but maybe it was 2015, but he did that once before and we got excited again. So that could certainly happen. You talked about the rookies a little bit, Ryan. I watched Goddard for the first time last night. Wow. That guy is impressive. So I'm looking forward to seeing where he goes in the draft.
Yeah. He's basically a receiver, right?
He's like, he's like an Evan Engram or a Jordan Reed a little. He's 260 pounds, but he does not look like he is 260 pounds. And his catch radius, he can catch it off the ground. He can high point the ball. He runs great routes. He's playing against, you know, lesser competition, obviously. But we saw what Shaheen was able to translate a little bit last year, despite playing against lower competition. So I still have faith.
I'll give you Jordan Reed for Goddard all day long.
Yeah, for sure. I will do it right now.
Right.
Is Goddard your tight end one in this class, or is it Mark Andrews?
I haven't watched enough of Andrews. There was a bunch of hype surrounding Goddard, so I can't make that comparison just yet, but I could imagine him definitely being that.
All right. As we mentioned before on the show, we're going to try to start this a little bit. I won't say a tradition, but at least a habit. This offseason, anytime we talk rookies, we are going to try to do a one-round rookie mock draft to end the show. We did that a couple weeks ago with Travis May, and we'll do the same thing here with Matt Price. And as always, we'll make things easy and give our guest the first pick. So Price, start us off as we wrap up the show and make your 1.01 selection.
I thought about joking around here and picking somebody else, but I mean, it's obviously Saquon Barkley, and I don't really know if we need to say that much about him. He's an incredible weapon. He's going to be a mismatch for linebackers. We saw what guys like Alvin Kamara and Christian McCaffrey were able to do at the second level there, and I think he's going to do a lot of the same, and he's obviously a better runner than those guys as well. So, so yeah, I love it.
All right, I took the easy way out this time. I gave myself the second pick, so I'm going to take Darius Geis there. Just as Barkley is locked in as the one, I think Geis is slotted as the two pick right now with not a whole lot of competition, in at least in one quarterback leagues. So, Matt Williamson, you will have the three pick and a little bit of a tougher decision this time.
Yeah, a little bit. The first two are obviously easy. I think there's two guys to think about here, but I'm going to go with Sony Michel. The more I learn about him, the more I like him. Well-rounded. I could see him landing on a good team as well.
All right. So we've got three running backs to start at: Barkley, Geis, and Sony Michel. And Price, back to you.
I'm going to go maybe a little bit off board here, and I'm going to go with James Washington. Travis May, another one of our buddies over at DLF, has really done a lot of good work on James Washington. I think he's his favorite receiver in the class, and I'm quickly leaning that way as well. So I'll take him here. An impressive thing about him, if you didn't know, he has over 200 catches and still is averaging almost 20 yards per catch. So anytime you have a guy to do that against, you know, pretty good competition, then I'm all in on that.
Yeah, Washington had that successful Senior Bowl, and then that has just seemed to kind of get the hype rolling with him a little bit, as if his production at Oklahoma State wasn't enough to do that already. But he seems to be kind of a riser a little bit among dynasty players. So he'll be our first wide receiver off the board. And I think at the five spot, I will take the second wide receiver off the board, Cortland Sutton. He kind of seems to be falling off the pace. Maybe, I don't want to say losing value, but there was at least some thought that he could maybe crack that top two in some drafts, and he's going the other way with that right now. But I'll grab him at the five spot. Lots of running backs left, especially if I have some later picks in the first round or early in the second round. I feel like I can wait on that running back spot. Williamson, six overall, who are you taking?
Yeah, I mean, when I was at three, I was torn between Michelle and Ronald Jones. So I'm glad you guys took the two receivers. I'll take Ronald Jones. And I think that's pretty good value right there.
Yeah, that's probably going to be the theme, especially as we try to figure this out between now and the actual NFL draft. A lot of these players are going to look like value. Somebody that you almost took it to is there at eight or nine. Mm-hmm. I think that's going to be a pretty common occurrence. All right, Matt Price, your turn at seven.
This is a tough one because Chubb's still on the board. I think I'll just go ahead and take Chubb here. It seems like really good value this late. I did consider Calvin Ridley here too. Is probably my second favorite wide receiver in this class, despite his age. I think he's the best route runner. But the running back position I really like, and I'm going to. In the future, I think I'm going to be concentrating more on the running back position in rookie drafts, just because you generally get that immediate production, whereas the wide receivers, despite us being spoiled by the 2014 class and that's still having residual effects now, I think that provides you with an opportunity to either use them for, you know, if you're a contender, you can use them for help you with a title run, and if you're not, then you can use that early production to kind of flip them for something else that you want. So I'll roll with Chubb here.
All right, it is my turn at the eight spot overall. A couple of players I like here quite a bit. I think I'm going to take Christian Kirk, the Texas A&M wide receiver. He's another player who seems to be gaining value, or at least some fantasy players are kind of coming around on him as maybe a top wide receiver prospect. And again, he's one who had just a ton of college production during his career. Williamson, your pick at nine.
Yeah, this guy didn't have a ton of college production, but to get Calvin Ridley at nine?
Yeah.
Yeah, easy.
I thought you were going to go a different direction with that. I thought Price might get his guy at 10. All right, so let me just run this down really quickly. We're nine picks in. It's gone Barkley, Geis, of course. No surprise there. Sony Michel, James Washington, Cortland Sutton, Ronald Jones, Nick Chubb, Christian Kirk, and Calvin Ridley at 9. We each have one pick left. The 10th overall pick, Matt Price, belongs to you.
This might be a little bit of a reach, but I think I might take him here in a real rookie draft. I think my favorite player in this entire class right now is John Kelly at 5'9", 215. I just love these compact, thickly built running backs. You know, he's not Maurice Jones-Drew isn't a direct comparison, but similar to that, I love the way he plays. He reminds me of Steve Smith at the running back position. He's just aggressive. He's tenacious. He has a mouthpiece that has these big fangs on them. And he's just, his stiff arm is incredible. If you haven't watched the Florida game, he throws a defensive back like halfway across the field, I think. So I'm in love with John Kelly right now, and I think he's going to be on a lot of my teams that are picking at the end of the first round.
Yeah, Kelly's a tough player to value. We did, along with our startup mock drafts that we have been talking about throughout the show, we also did some rookie mock drafts at DLF. He's a player that went early in the second round in some of those, and he fell all the way to the fourth round in others. So wow. The range as far as his value is really very wide right now. And hopefully in my leagues, he lasts until the fourth round.
One other, just cause I'm all about John Kelly right now. One other impressive stat about him, he broke one tackle for every four touches. And just to put that into perspective, Alvin Kamara and Kareem Hunt broke a tackle every three touches. So he's right in there in that range with those guys who succeeded in their first year in NFL last season.
All right. We're at the 11th overall pick. That is my pick. And still, again, this is going to be another theme. You're going to have lots of choices with each one of these picks because there is so much depth to the class. Several guys I like here, but I am going to go with Maryland wide receiver DJ Moore at the 11th overall spot. And Matt, that leaves you to finish us up at 12.
Yeah, and I considered Moore here. I'm going to take Goddard for all the same reasons we just talked about. I think as a dynasty asset, he's right there with Ingram, Howard, Njoku a year ago. What we knew about those three coming into the league, I think he could be that kind of contributor early. I could see him ending up with a team like maybe Jacksonville at the end of the round, something along those lines. But if I was on the turn here, if I had 12 and 13, I'd take Kerryon Johnson from Auburn.
So, Matt, let's eat a little crow here. This time last year, of course, spent a lot of these shows talking about the incoming rookie class, and we loved the running backs, and we liked Juju Smith, and we liked Corey Davis and all these guys. And even though we liked Evan Ingram, and we liked O.J. Howard, and we liked David Njoku, we knew the story of rookie tight ends, and it mostly wasn't a good story. So we said that our strategy, and we advised our listeners to wait on tight ends. Don't spend a first round pick on Evan Ingram or Howard or Njoku. Instead, just wait a year. You can buy them in the off season of 2018 for much cheaper than a first round pick. And it didn't really go that way. All three of those guys, of course, Evan Ingram, especially, had very successful rookie seasons and are worth way more than the late first rounder you spent on them last year. So I say that only to say, maybe it's just this tight end position is changing. Maybe it's the level of talent that's coming in. But let's not make the same mistake or at least make the same assumption with Goddard and Andrews and these other tight ends.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. And I think also last year's pretty historic tight end class. You know, like we might look a couple years from now and be like, wow, the three best tight ends in the league all came the same year, give or take. And I remember a year ago you saying, I'm like, boy, this is a really smart take here by Ryan. Wait till week 8 or week 10 when O.J. Howard and Njoku aren't playing and then trade for him at a discount. But they never went down, even though they weren't playing a ton.
Well, I do think it just never happened with Ingram. And, of course, part of that had to do with the Beckham injury. But I do think there was a buying window for Howard. And I think there was a buying window for Njoku where you could get them. I don't know that you were buying them for a second rounder like maybe we mentioned then. But you were at least buying them for maybe less than that investment.
For Jordan Reed, right, Ryan?
I did buy Njoku for Jordan Reed, and I got a third rounder tossed in. So I feel good about that deal, especially now. But But in general, those guys have maintained, if not increased, their value. And I think more and more we're going to see Goddard popping up as a possible first round dynasty rookie pick, and Andrews as well. You know, Goddard's the cool kid on the block this week, but Andrews has the production and he has a lot of things going for him as well. So it's almost as if we're discounting him or forgetting about him when we definitely should not be.
Kind of along what Matt said earlier, this week at the combine might really spike Goddard's stock.
Yeah, yeah.
And his name is Dallas. We had another tight end a long time ago with the first name Dallas. He did pretty good.
He had a pretty good career.
Cowboys should draft him.
All right, Matt, thanks for joining us. Before we go, tell all of our listeners where they can find your work.
You can find all my stuff at DLF. I co-host the DLF Dynasty podcast with Ryan. You can follow me on Twitter at MPricer. If you like game shows and Dynasty Fantasy Football, check out my show with John Bosch, the Dynasty Game Night. Ryan came in a couple episodes ago and took that show down. So, MDub, maybe we'll have to have you on there too.
Yeah.
And then if you want a little bit of non-football stuff in the off season, you can check out my other podcast, Zookeeper Stories. That podcast is really if you're familiar with Matt Harmon's Backyard Banner podcast, it's that podcast, but for zookeeping. So
do you have any awesome stories of people getting bit by like a bear or a tiger or a shark or something?
I can tell you those off air. I can tell you those off air.
All right. Thanks again, Matt, for joining us. We'll be back next week with more Dynasty Blueprint.